Indeed, one way, Jesus. It reminds me of the Wesley Youth Guild back in the day in South Africa. Its motto, one heart, one way. I'm not sure if it was the same here. Many of us will associate today's readings with funerals. And indeed, it is a passage very relevant for a funeral service. But this passage is as much, if not more, about living as it is about dying. Interestingly, the focus of the passage is not so much Jesus himself, but rather God the Father. I counted 14 times the word Father in those 14 verses. The best known of the verses, of course, is verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Which way? The way to the Father. I'm the truth about what? About whom? The truth about the Father. I am the life. What life? Life in relationship with the Heavenly Father. Firstly, says Jesus, I am the way to the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's through Jesus that we come to know God as our Father, and we come to know ourselves as his children. In the first chapter of John, we read, to those who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Through believing in Jesus, through receiving him, we are able to come to know God as our Father. We are able to know ourselves as his children. Because more than just pointing the way to the Father, Jesus is himself the way. Every other religion basically says, this is the way, follow it. Jesus says, I am the way, follow me. In one of the language groups in South Africa, a signpost is sometimes jokingly referred to as a minister. And apparently the reason is that, like some church ministers, signposts show you the way, but they don't go there themselves. Not so Jesus. In some supermarkets, if you ask an assistant where a certain item is, you might be told, well, I think it's in aisle 7, about 2/3 of the way along, about the third or fourth shelf down maybe. And you set off not very confidently to locate the item. On other occasions, the assistant will say, come with me, I'll take you there. Such a difference, isn't it? Jesus not only points the way to the Father, he takes us there. He is the way, and he takes us to the Father. Before Jesus, access to God was largely limited to the high priest. Only he could go through the curtain which separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, the Holy of Holies where the presence of God was believed to dwell. And he could only do that on one day of the year, the Day of Atonement. The Gospels tell us that when Jesus was crucified, that very curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Why top to bottom? Because it was God from above who opened up that way, not any human being. The way to the Father was now open to all because of the death of Jesus. In the spectrum of different faiths, Jesus is unique. Only he claimed to be God in the flesh. Only he offered a real remedy for human sin. Only he came back from death and the grave. Only he offers to live with his followers. The late Dallas Willard, a renowned Christian author and speaker, spent much of his working life teaching philosophy in a secular university. One day a student asked him, "Why do you refer so much to Jesus Christ?" He replied with a question of his own. "Who else do you have in mind?" he said. Indeed, who else do we have in mind? Who else is there? Socrates, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Gandhi. Significant personalities indeed, but none of them comes even close to Jesus. "I am the way. I am the way to the Father," said Jesus. And then secondly, "I am the truth." Jesus is the truth about God the Father. He says to the disciples, "Now that you know me, you will know my Father. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Paul writes these words to the Colossians, "Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God." The visible likeness of the invisible God. Or as some child apparently put it, "Jesus is God with skin on." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Is God loving? Look at Jesus. Is God forgiving? Look at Jesus. Is God approachable? Look at those who approach Jesus. Is God peace-loving? Look at Jesus. Is God kind, good, generous, trustworthy? Look at Jesus. If we have any view that does not square, any view of God that does not square with the life of Jesus, it cannot be a correct view. Even if the Old Testament, for example, may seem to be saying it. The late Archbishop Michael Ramsay liked to say, "God is Christ-like, and in him is no un-Christ-likeness at all." God is Christ-like, and in him there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. One of the most important secrets to a healthy Christian faith is to have a correct view of God. If we believe, for example, that God is distant, or that God is vengeful, or that God favors some people above others, or that God is the origin of suffering, or that some are beyond God's saving grace, then our view of God is flawed, and we are unlikely to be able to have an intimate and healthy relationship with the Heavenly Father. We believe in a God as he is revealed in Jesus Christ, who is the truth about God. And finally, says Jesus, "I am the life." I am the life. It echoes two of the other "I am" sayings of Jesus. "I am the bread of life," and "I am the resurrection and the life." It echoes also words of John in chapter 1 of the Gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. Jesus offers fullness of life. As we read last week, he said, "I have come that you might have life in all its fullness." The Bible uses the phrase eternal life. We sometimes tend to think of eternal life in terms of quantity, of the length of life, life that is everlasting. That is part of it, but the real meaning is about quality rather than quantity of life. Eternal life is a certain quality of life. It is a life that is lived in intimate relationship with the eternal God. It is a life in which we operate not just on a human level, but also on a spiritual level. It is a life in which we live in the world around us, but also in which we live within the one who created that world. It is a life in which we acknowledge that in him we live and move and have our being. It is a life where we see ourselves not primarily as bodies that happen to have a soul, but rather as eternal souls who happen to have a body. And so eternal life can begin now in this world. And of course it continues into the world to come as well. The world where that relationship with God our Father will be even closer and deeper. And Jesus, of course, makes reference to that in John chapter 14. He speaks of going to prepare a place in his Father's house. Jesus is using the image of one of the customs of that day. When a bride and groom became betrothed to each other, the man would go off to his father's house and he would add another section, an extension, onto that house. And when that building work was complete, he would come back and take his bride to return to that place that he had prepared. Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many rooms." Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. He has gone to prepare a place for us, and he will come back to fetch us, so that where he is, there we may be also. He wants us to be part of that great wedding banquet prepared for all God's people. The party of parties, all parties, who want to miss out on such a celebration. I am the way, the truth, the life, says Jesus. I am the way to the Father. I'm the truth about the Father. And I make possible life with God as our Heavenly Father, now and always. Amen.